How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is? What time it is? What time it is? Listen up, listen up, listen up. How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is? Listen up, listen up, listen up.
Knowledge is your birthright. Every human being should be gifted with the right to know self and the environment and the universe into which God gave us birth and life.
For us to come out of our mother's wombs and be 20 years old, 30 years old, not able to read. Victims now of where we place our ears. Who do you listen to?
Listen up. Listen up. How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is? Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Generation, I'm your question about parenting. We have a very special guest joining me live in the studio. You know him as the education reporter for WBAL, but he's also the pastor of Harvest Christian Ministries, and he's going to talk to us about his new book, Leading by Example, a parental guide to teaching and modeling Christian faith at home. We're going to have a conversation, give you a chance to chime in. Make sure you hit us up at 410-319-8888. And then after we talk to the pastor, we're going to talk a little bit about the Vegan Restaurant Week that's coming to Baltimore. We'll be checking in with Naja Wright of the Land of Kush, as well as Dr. Milton Mills of What the Health, to talk to us about what is this whole thing called veganism. And then later, I got something very special for you for the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report. So stay tuned. All of that on tonight's edition of Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. Young Nation, let's go.
Jail. Went straight to my mama house. Need somebody I could talk to and a little more time to work all these dramas out. That lawyer money, that bail money, those letters in the mail never fail you, homie. Who visit when niggas don't visit? Man, she the realest. Boy, let me tell you something. You better love your mama.
I love mama.
All right, peace and welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. I'm your host for Raji Muhammad. Tonight, I am so excited. He traveled all the way through the rainstorm of 2007. Let me stop playing.
It's over. In this part of town.
This part of town is over. We have our beloved brother. He is the education reporter for WBAL-TV. He's also the pastor of Harvest Christian Ministries. And he's now a new author of the book, Leading by Example, a parental guide to teaching and modeling Christian faith at home. So happy to have him. He's actually a radio guru. He's done this for many, many years. I'm so happy.
How many years?
Many years. Dr. Pastor Tim Tootin. Dr. Tootin, how are you, sir?
Man, it is great to be here. And I won't tell the story of how long I've known you.
You won't tell that story.
No, I won't, because no, I've known you since I've been in Baltimore. But it's great. I hear you often.
Okay.
And you're doing a great job in the community.
Thank you.
I am glad to be on your show. In fact, you asked me first.
I did ask you first.
Before the book even came out.
I did ask you first, because I had the great opportunity to come to your church, Harvest Christian Ministries. And I was so filled with the Spirit. You did a wonderful job. And I mean, family, I'm going to be for real. Y'all, you say, Farad, you visit the church? Yes, I visit the church. And look, I went to the pastor's church, and when I heard what you talked about and talked about faith, and you did it in such a very logical way, but it was filled with the Spirit.
Well, thank you.
It was really
filled
with the Spirit.
I don't know what I preached that Sunday, but it was something, but it was good. You know, pastor sometimes will forget the next week. But if people are helped, and you told me that day that you were helped.
I did.
And I was excited to see you because I realized, man, I haven't seen you in a long time.
It's been a long time.
I'm so glad to see you and have known you. I'm great to be able to come on this show and to talk about parenting. And faith.
You know what? This is a big issue because when we look at where we currently are, this book right here, and this is not your normal, like, professorial book. And, you know, if you're on Facebook right now, this book is literally a workbook. And it's a parental guide to teaching and modeling Christian faith at home. Pastor Tootin, talk to us about what was the inspiration? What led you to get to this point? Because when you're talking about parenting, mm-hmm. it can become a very, very sticky, sensitive topic. So what was the inspiration
Absolutely.
Behind it?
You know, I finished my doctoral work at Virginia University of Lynchburg. And it came out of parents coming to me at church and saying, Pastor, I've got my son, and they've got a tough question on faith, and you must know the answer. And I would say yes. And so they would give me the kid, and I would go on the side, and I would try to explain it. And then I said to myself, wait a minute. What if I equip parents in their own faith, and then they in turn could share the faith? Let's do something that make them the first teachers, because parents have influence. And so it was through my doctoral work that we tried it out at Harvest Christian Ministries. It became a part of my doctoral degree. And then I said, well, now that that's done, I want to take what I have, talk about my own faith journey and about what parents can do in light of the problems we're facing. Mm-hmm. Somehow we've forgotten that it still starts at home. And that when you become more comfortable with what you know or was afraid to ask about, then you can say, let's talk about it. So there are family activities, but there are real lessons that you can do. I mean, my mother said, it's like something a baby could get. She's 87.
Wow.
And so I really want that to be something that parents can grasp and feel like, I can do this.
Yeah. And this is the thing about that, because now there is so much more to faith than what we saw maybe 15, 20, 25
Absolutely.
Years ago. You know, I remember my parents telling me, or hearing the stories of them telling me, how when they had questions about God, a lot of times the response was, well, that's just how it is.
Right.
There wasn't really a deep explanation. There wasn't really any real understanding. And certainly this is not a shot to any of those parents that gave those answers. But I think that nowadays, like my four-year-old, he asks me questions, and I have to literally
they ask the best questions.
And they ask
the
best questions. And I have to sit down and I just start explaining him things so he understands. Break it down, but you know, getting into the process of explaining, because I don't want my son to just understand, well, that's just how it is.
You know what's so important too is about spending time with your kids. I mean, I think if we're not careful, and I'm a grandfather at this point, it will just, okay, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. But I mean, I think kids still enjoy you sitting down with them. They still enjoy, on the way to the amusement park, on the way to what you're doing, having those conversations.
Right.
And then if you're home, you have something you can actually work with them. You can color in the book. You can do word puzzles. I just think it's so important because kids do ask the best questions, and we struggle often to find the answer. Well, this book will help you. It gives you a jump to say, okay, at least I'm somewhere in the neighborhood.
Right, right. So let's talk about it. Your book mentions the multiple areas a child can be engaged: physically, spiritually, cognitively, and emotionally. Why those particular areas, Pastor?
It's dealing with the whole child. I mean, we know that that's our makeup. And so you've got to minister and teach into each area. It can't just be, sit down, listen to me, I'll talk. Talk with them in all of these areas. And what you are able to do is translate, whether it's playing, whether it's something that they're dealing with. So I think that you can't overlook any of that, is that children are made up that way. And
right.
We have to minister and talk with them on their level, but cover all these areas because they go through stuff. They have questions.
Does it bother you to see that, you know, you have a lot of young parents nowadays, mm-hmm. right? But does it bother you to see that some young parents don't take the time to really learn their child's learning style, to really understand that their child thinks and operates differently, not just from other children, but yes, just also from themselves as the parents? Does that kind of get under your skin when you see that? You're like, maybe he's not getting it because he's not you.
You know what? And you mentioned that there was a book written many, many moons ago called Multiple Intelligences. Mm. I think it's Martin was the author. And we all learn differently. I'm a visual learner.
Me too.
I mean, if I see it, I'll remember.
Exactly.
And so you have to do something that really ministers to them in that area and talk with them about how they're learning. My son is 27 now, and he loves sports to this day. I had to do vocabulary stuff using sports, like a sports thing, because he understood it better if it was in the context of a touchdown.
Yeah.
Or in the context of a home run.
Right.
And so whatever their interests are, being able to find a way to say, well, how can we tie faith to this? How can we talk about how this connects to what you like to do? Because kids get bored very quickly.
And I'm going to open up the phone lines. And even on Facebook Live, if you're joining us on here on Listen Up on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, we're talking to Pastor Tim Tootin, Sr. of Harvest Christian Ministries, talking about his new book, Leading by Example, Parental Guide to Teaching and Modeling Christian Faith at Home. You can give us a call, 410-319-8888. Again, that number is 410-319-8888. Now, Pastor, there are so many challenges that face this particular generation of parents and children. I put a post on Facebook the other night because my son at 4 years old loves watching YouTube videos and playing Roblox. If any parent knows, and they have like a child, a son, daughter, niece, nephew, whoever, and you know what I'm talking about. YouTube video, they got this little boy named Ryan's toy review.
Ryan does
is he takes out the toys and he plays with them on camera and he gives his little, like 6, 7, or 8 year old, he gives his little review of the toys.
Right.
Then they got Roblox and stuff, and I'm starting to see my son is addicted to this thing. He's like, Dad, can I hold your phone? And I'm like, son, I need my phone for myself. But Dad, I want to watch Ryan.
You know, it is a different challenge. And I my hair is gray. And so I raised children before there were real cell phones.
Right.
And iPads and that kind of thing. So it was a different challenge.
Yeah.
It is tough, I think, trying to understand what a parent has to do in this day and age. I just think that when you connect with them and take those moments, and once they see that you believe it's important.
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you looking at? Then I think they will gravitate. But you've got to be in their world. And I think your point on, you've got to be in their world. And not just teaching it, but look at this, modeling, because kids are watching you. They may not seem like it. They may be playing the game, but they're watching how you live and what you do and what you believe is important. They begin to do that because they want to be like their father and mother when they see positive things happening.
So let's look at it. How do you insert faith into this, especially if you are – you have a child that has parents that have two different faiths, know what I mean? Or how do you infuse faith into the conversation when, as a parent, you may not be as such a, you know, quote unquote,
grounded,
involved in organized religion? So how does that, where does that, when do you have that conversation and how do you have that conversation?
You know, you said something very well. You talked about two different things. Whether there's two different faith system. And the other part is, how do you start the conversation? I think that when it comes to you practicing your faith, I think children watch you. And for us, we used to imitate the people at church. And church was fun. I mean, I was more concerned about getting out of church and going to the nickel and dime store.
Right.
But I think kids watch us, and they watch what we do. And we have to make it important. Well, I do know you can't say it's time to sit down right now and do this. You've got to be creative and saying, hey, you got a minute? Why don't we try this? And what this book does, there are family activities that are songs, and there are things that take you outside. Why don't we go do this and do this and do that? Mm. And when it comes to another question about the whole faith system, being able to talk about what you believe, I was able to go to St. Mary's Seminary here in town, and what I loved about that, it was ecumenical. So you have a Christian and a Jew and a Muslim and different denominations all next to each other. But we found out that there's so many things in common within our faith systems. So being able to connect that, this is for a Christian perspective, but what it is that you believe is important. I think what happens is that sometimes kids were taken, were sent to church and not taken or sent to, you know, to the mosque. But, you know, but they say, well, I'm not going. So they say it's not important to you, then it's not important to me.
Is it a good idea to expose children to all different types of faith at a young age just to get them, get the motor running, so to speak?
I'll answer that by saying I've heard people say this. I'll let them choose. Well, they're 5-6 years old. You know, I'm not going to pressure them. You know, you ought to feel passionate enough about your faith that you believe it's worth sharing. I think that when it comes to learning about different faiths, it's what you project. If you say, yeah, you know, I've got Tim Tudor, I know this person, but you see my friends and they're all of different faiths, then they become tolerant to what other people believe.
Yeah.
But yet know what their faith is.
Right.
So I guess to answer your question, I think exposure is good.
Exposure is good.
But to say, I'll just let them figure it out down the road. Well, right. How you expect they go, you know, I'll let them learn how to tie the shoe down the road or ride a bike down the road. You know, I'm not being, you know, sarcastic, but I think that there's such a heavy responsibility on parents, and parenting is different.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and our parents told us that, oh, it's tough out there. And we didn't really believe until we got to be parents. But your generation, because I've got kids your age, it's another challenge.
It is. It
you know, when my grandkids travel now, there's a game luggage with nothing but games.
Right.
You know,
right.
But that's the way it is. But when I catch them at those moments, I was like, hey, let's go outside for a walk. Let's talk about the trees and the birds. I try to find some way to infuse faith and to model it.
For the parents that are not as faithful, quote unquote, and I'm going to just use that loosely, right? What do you recommend? Because, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of the values that we have, especially in the Black community, it really stems from our belief system. These aren't just, quote unquote, you know, isolated values.
Old-fashioned.
These are old-fashioned, and we got to say it, it comes straight from the Bible,
yes.
type of belief system. Yeah. But then, you know, Pastor, there has been a ton of articles right now that you got a lot of millennial parents that are moving away from their faith, moving from their childhood faith. They're more becoming, quote unquote, more spiritual in nature. But how do you make sure that even from them moving away, they don't break the chain for their children or for the next generation after their children? Like, how do you make sure that you really are producing a faithful generation?
You know, it's interesting because you were at my church that Sunday.
Yes, sir.
And one thing you notice, I think, that we didn't stay in there all day.
No. Thank the Lord. Pastor, your church service was real straight to the point, which I love, and I really appreciate that.
Right. And so I think that, you know, you're not going to drag a kid into church and say, you're going here for the afternoon service and you're going to be all day, you know, because you recall that as a parent, say, oh, God, I would never take them to that. But don't throw out the baby with the bathwater and say, well, therefore, they get nothing.
Right.
Because what you find out is that Sunday you can drive through and see people playing lacrosse and baseball. And while you're on the move, take the opportunity to begin to share what you know about God, what you know about Christ. My parents didn't sit down per se and say, you know, but they said, you're going to do what I tell you to do. That's biblical. You're going to be home on time. That's biblical.
Right.
You won't talk back to me. That's biblical.
Yeah.
And so there are biblical things that you may not be able to quote them scripture, but they're still looking for discipline and instruction, which all goes back to the Bible. It all goes back to Christian upbringing. And you have to be sure and intentional about that. I don't think we can just give the fight up. I mean, I think that, yeah, the generations that may not be churched or may not think that faith is important, you got to walk it.
Right.
And you got to talk it.
Right.
And I'm hopeful today, as I am any other time, that the church is still relevant. It's still important. You know, and I think we still need those teachings because you get there with people and we still can draw from the, I think I'm becoming like an elder now. I got a birthday this weekend, but you know, we become the wiser folk. But I think we still learn from people.
Right.
And that's exciting. So I guess that the answer to that question, that we have to just find creative ways to, you know, even watching that game, my grandson, I said, man, look at here. Now, why is he doing that? I said, you think he got God on his side? You know what I mean? I'll find ways in watching the game to insert faith. We got to be creative.
If you're just tuning in to listen up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, we are talking to Pastor Tim Tooten. He is the author of the new book, Leading by Example, A Parental Guide to Teaching and Modeling Christian Faith at Home. And if you're on Facebook Live right now, definitely post your questions so that way we can ask our beloved pastor any questions that you may have about parenting and faith. Now, you talked about a couple of things here, Pastor. You talked about the relevancy of the church at this point in time. And then you talked about some of the challenges. I want to deal with the former. The relevancy of the church. There is a huge generation gap right now.
Absolutely.
We don't see as many young people in the church. And now you have another generation of pastors, you know, more hipper. I want to say that more hip hop oriented type of pastor, and whatnot. And there has been some criticism about that. They're saying, "Hey, this is kind of going away from the traditional, or this is a slippery slope that you want to be hip or you want to be culturally in tune, but then you start to lose something." What's your take on that whole debate?
You know what? I know that I can't be cool at this stage.
You can't.
But come on. But I don't try to be. I think young people, millennials, appreciate a real adult who will keep it real with them. Mm. Not talk down to them. Let them know, listen, I've been out there. I've messed up. And so there's got to be some transparency, even in your sharing. Now, I'm fortunate.
So you're not an advocate of how I see often many parents that say trying to be the friend of their child.
No. You
have to set the line, the boundary.
Yes. I mean, you don't want to be boring, but you got to set boundaries. And when it comes to sharing, say, from a pulpit situation, just be honest. There's not a Sunday that goes by I don't share something from my childhood or I don't tell everything. But they got to know that you had some experiences and that you had some moments where God had to bring you out, and that becomes important. And you don't really want to water down your faith. And the blessing of having millennial children, I'd ask them, I say, what do you think about this? You know, is that a good title? No, Dad, that's a bad title. You don't want to say that.
But you
can help. And
you put on TV, Dad. Don't embarrass me.
I think millennials, they appreciate you coming to them because it's a sharing. You know, they get wisdom from you, but you get to ask them questions about what's out there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't try to find a hip title. I don't try to find something that's going to get them, but I do want to keep it real.
Right.
They want to know if you're real. And they want to know, what do you know about that?
Yeah.
Did you grow up, Tim Tooten, in a home where, you know, we had to go to church, you know? And when I got to college, I realized I can say it in the name of the Lord. I knew there were the nice girls at church. I went to church. I said, nice girls go to church in college. But I mean, maybe for some of the wrong reasons, but I had enough in me to realize it was important. And then in life situations and challenges, there are things that draw you back to your faith. I'm not saying at any point this is easy. It isn't. And that's why this guide and this book, I try to make it so simple that you can understand it and try to model some of it. Say, wait a minute, that's a nice lesson about love. Let me get a love sticker. I got little things there that would help you around the dinner table,
right?
On the go, to be able to infuse. And you never know what children catch.
In your chapter 2, you point out statistics on drug and alcohol use, especially among high school and middle schoolers. How is a program or teaching like yours able to turn this around? Because we're now seeing with the quote-unquote opioid crisis, we're seeing that there is a huge number of young people who are leaning towards that lifestyle. What would you recommend?
You know, I think you have to take your head out of the sand and recognize that things have happened so much earlier now. You know, that drugs and opioid training in Maryland this year, it's required in third grade to talk about this. And so you can't pretend that it doesn't exist. You got to see the numbers. And it's not just Baltimore City. I always look at the numbers. You go outside the Beltway, and that's where you've got a lot of your problems. I think that you have to be aware of all that's happening around you. You can't dismiss the numbers and the data. And this all came from Maryland students who were honest enough to say, oh, yeah, I've smoked and I've drank and I've done this. And you may not want to hear that, but it's real.
Yeah.
And so how do you minister to them knowing that some of that stuff you've tried?
Exactly.
And so help them to understand that there's a way out. Help them to understand that you know, there are many vices and things that will tempt you, but always keep God first. Always, you know, learn that he'll bring you out of situations and then give a testimony. Man, he brought me out one day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, sir.
And they would say, oh, really? You know, yes, I used to hear the old deacons at my church talk about how they used to run. I said, man, you didn't do that. You all in the suit now.
Right.
But kids want to know that you're real, and they want to know that you've been through things, and they want to know that you feel them. And so when you can take time with them, I've had parents say, well, Reverend, I got teenagers. You got a book for that? Well, you got to start now.
Right.
You know,
Don't start when they are teenagers.
The earlier, the better.
The earlier, the better. And, hey, you know what, Pastor? We only got a few moments left. Sure. But the big thing that everybody has certainly been talking about is the issue of violence. You've been doing education reporting for many years. You've been in the schools. And now we're at this place where in our city, violence has become a part of the culture. It has become a part of who we are, and now is our tradition. Is there anything that you can offer, any type of words of guidance that you can offer for parents or for children or young people that may go down that path?
You know what? It's prayer. I mean, we've got to keep praying. And the Bible talks about, you know, faith without works is dead. But there's some mothers out there right now who are holding down, you know, prayer.
Yeah.
And I think that still makes a difference, is believing that we serve a God who can answer prayer. Yeah, does it look bleak? Absolutely. But there's not all of this going on. There's some things that are happening. People are getting breakthroughs all the time, that we can't abandon faith and prayer and believing that God will answer our prayer and make a difference. It's bigger than a book. I got the book, but I need to pray over the book so that I need some help. I think that when we cry out to one another, we cry out to God in a special way and ask him to give us guidance. I mean, I think that still works. It may seem old fogey, old fashioned. I got grandmothers buying the book. I got the grandkids. I need to get that book. But people who may not feel comfortable in what they know, it is like basic. Fill in the blank. You know, draw
the crossword
circle,
puzzles. Got maps in here.
Yeah, things
you
that
got
can
a
help
session
you.
Plan, lesson plans. This is beautiful, Pastor.
And that way, if you want to teach it, you can. It's your book. You can say, "Well, I got lesson plan number one." It's very specific. And what I found with our people at Harvest, it worked. Some of those kids that were little, they're in college now.
Yeah.
So they've taken that with them, and I'm real confident that it can work in the lives of young people.
Pastor Tim Tootin, Dr. Tim Tootin, leading by example, his book, A Parental Guide to Teaching and Modeling Christian Faith at Home. Pastor, how can folks get your book?
Man, let me tell you now. You can go to Amazon, and if you forget the whole title, which is Leading by Example, A Parental Guide to Teaching and Modeling Christian Faith, put in Tim Tootin. So I'm going to search for Tim Tootin, T-I-M-T-O-O-T-E-N, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Zulon Press, iBooks. You name it.
It's all there.
We're there. But you want to get the copy. You see how big it is, right?
It's a nice copy.
So that way, if you get the hardback copy or paperback, it's yours. You write in it, you color in it, it becomes a keepsake.
Yeah.
Down the road, you say, when you were four, look at what we did.
That's right. Man. I'm going to include this in my son's curriculum, Pastor.
Awesome.
That's what I'm talking about. And, you know, may God continue to bless you, Pastor. You're doing some wonderful work. And keep representing for the education reporters.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because I tuned into you. You were the first one
Watch
to tell
now.
Me if my school was closed.
And, man, I still got those hats.
You still got those
man,
hats?
Man, I got hats.
Dre, he still got the hats, man.
They still exist.
All right. Dr. Tim Tootin, thank you so
man,
much.
Man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I'm going to let folks know you were the first one to ask me, say, man, I want you on the show. The book wasn't even in print yet.
That's
I appreciate
right.
you. I was lying the whole time.
I know that. Big shout out to my homegirl, Tia Jones, for getting us connected. Hey. About that, right? All right, that's what's up right there. All right, thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through.
And that's your copy. I'm going to autograph for you.
Yo, yes, sir, absolutely. Up next, we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to talk a little bit about Vegan Restaurant Week. That's right. And, of course, we got something very special for you for the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report. So stay tuned. A whole lot more on the other side. It is Listen Up WEAP on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. We'll be right back.
Vegetables, fresh fruit, and whole wheat. I'm from the old school. My household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu. No fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes. Only ganja, fresh squeezed juice from oranges. Exercising daily to stay healthy. And I rarely drink water out the tap cause it's filthy.
Lentil soup is mental fruit and ginger root is good for the youth. Fresh vegetable with them Italian stew. Sweet yam fries with the green callaloo. Careful how you season and prepare your foods, cause you don't wanna lose vitamins and minerals, and that's the jewel. Life brings life, it's valuable. So I eat what come from the ground, it's natural. Let your food be your medicine, no accelerant.
Peace and welcome back to Listen Up Here, your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community and the next generation. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit to talk about my favorite subject, because if you know me, you know that I'm a foodie, and nothing is more beautiful or valuable in life than food. Let me stop playing. Of course, we're going to talk about food. It's big restaurant week coming up in the city of Baltimore, which is Vegan Restaurant Week. Never heard it. We're going about to tell you to talk to you about it. And here to talk to us about it is our resident vegan chef. Can I call you that, Sister Naja Wright? Can I call you that?
You can call me a chef, Araji.
Yeah, I can just call you a chef. Oh, okay. All right. We got our chef from Land of Kush, co-founder and co-owner of Land of Kush, Sister Naja Wright on the line. And also on the line, we have Dr. Milton Mills, who is a black vegan chef and scholar.
No,
and
he's a doctor.
He's a doctor. Yeah. He's actually a doctor.
Yes, he is.
He is a doctor. He is a doctor.
A physician.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He's from that great, that new documentary, What the Health, that's got a lot of people talking. Doc, before we get to you, I got to get to my sister, Sister Naja Wright. Sister Naja, how are you, sis?
Faraji, it's crazy down here for the first day of the Baltimore Vegan Restaurant Week.
Yeah.
You know, we have media down here since 5 o'clock this morning. We've been getting calls and interview and everything. So the door's been opening and shut all day long. We just had our happy hour, our Kush happy hour, and it's just crazy down here.
Even in the rainstorm, y'all getting
in the rainstorm, like it's a line, like there's a line.
What do y'all put in? Is it really vegan or is it something else?
It's all vegan. No. All vegan, also.
All right, so talk to us a little bit about the Sister Naja, because Vegan Restaurant Week, we've heard of Baltimore Restaurant Week. You got area right. restaurants that have kind of quote unquote created these, like, these lowered their prices, they created these menus. But what is Vegan Restaurant Week? What's the difference? Is there a difference? And how many restaurants are participating?
Is a difference. The Vegan Restaurant Week is all about accessibility and just flexibility. You don't have to purchase a prefix meal. The whole thing is to get more restaurants to become veg friendly. The idea actually stemmed from Golden West. So we partnered with Golden West in Hamden, who's been doing a vegan week in their restaurant since 2014. So I had dined there earlier this year in February, and I said, you know what? I could help you take this a lot bigger. It would be great to see the entire city and at some point the entire state get on this bandwagon of a vegan restaurant week. Because restaurants like the Land of Kush can't participate in the regular Baltimore restaurant week because we're not serving a three-course meal. So what about the little guy?
That's right. One.
The second thing is we're a vegan restaurant. I go to different restaurants, and a lot of times it's one or two things. I'm an inconvenience for the waiter, or they don't have anything on the menu that I like.
Right.
Right. So it's kind of like, and then, you know, I'll buy a salad, but what I don't like is to feel uncomfortable being in your establishment and I'm going to spend some money and you're telling me to go around the corner to that other place that serves all vegan food. Like, everybody, I should be able to, my non-vegan friend who I'm trying to get vegan should be able to take me to a restaurant that's veg-friendly.
Can we pull over and maybe see if that's...
Right.
Be able to get to the table and break bread. So it's all about getting these different neighborhoods and these restaurants on board and serving some vegan options. It could be one great thing, not just salad.
Right. And see, here's the thing. And you first, Sister Naja, how many restaurants you said are going to be participating in this thing?
The goal was 40. We got 38 signed up.
38 restaurants that are going to be participating in Vegan Restaurant Week that started today.
Yes.
That's fantastic. And first, I wanted to let people know early, where can people learn who those 30 restaurants are? Like, is there something online that we can go to?
There's a website. It's MD, so, you know, short for Maryland, mdveganeats.com. Because we want to take this statewide. The Restaurant Association of Maryland is a partner in this.
Yeah.
We have Yelp Baltimore, of course, who always partners with us and sponsors events. Welfare World, definitely major sponsor of all the events that we do, major sponsor of the Vegan Restaurant Week, and the Meatless Monday organization. So Meatless Monday, we're promoting restaurants to at least have a Meatless Monday. They have a whole guide on it and everything, and it's on the mdveganeats.com site. So this is a movement. It is an initiative to get these restaurants on board with serving some vegan options.
Dr. Milton Mills, I want to talk to us about veganism because there's a lot of misperceptions, but veganism really came to the forefront when the new documentary, What the Health, was distributed. I want to play just a little bit of the excerpt from that documentary called What the Health.
Okay.
Cascade of debilitating disease that's overcoming the country.
18% of children are morbidly obese right now. We're on par to have 1 in 3 people be diabetic in the next 25 years. That's crazy statistics.
We have this very dangerous situation.
Large amounts of these substances have unquestionably been associated with clogged arteries, high blood pressure, diabetes, autoimmune diseases. Absolutely, the science is solid.
We're talking life and death.
Health organizations have become co-opted. They are taking money from the very industries who are causing the problem.
There's a very strong pharmaceutical industry and lobby that has a huge stake in preserving the status quo.
We've got a $35 billion statin drug industry. Do they ever want to see that go away?
The government's in bed with anyone that gives them the most money.
These are government programs.
Consumers have no idea.
We consider it normal that a town the size of the town I grew up in gets wiped out every year.
If that many people were being killed by some terrorist group in the United States every year, we would find them.
From a community standpoint, from all other aspects, we're in a state of emergency.
They care more about cooperation than these people.
They spend at least $138 million lobbying Congress.
These companies really have a vested interest in making sure that the public doesn't have information about their effects.
Any little thing that comes up, man, they beat it to death.
They're trying to silence.
That was some of the excerpt. That's an excerpt from the documentary What the Health that got a lot of people talking about veganism. I'm so happy, Dr. Milton, that you are on with us tonight because you are the only black vegan doctor that was featured in that particular documentary. But talk to us about veganism. I mean, the way the narrative of this, of the health, the state of health of Americans in this country, the way the narrative was played out in that, it got a lot of people saying, hey, man, I think I'm becoming vegan. Is it that serious? Is it that scary?
Yes. I've been really actually very pleasantly surprised by the reception that the movie has gotten. It's essentially gone viral, and it's been incredibly well received. And it's made just a tremendous impression on the people that have seen it, that they've been really impressed with the fact that they've come to the realization that essentially the vast majority of the diseases that afflict Americans are due to the ways that we eat and live, and it's primarily the food that we eat. And that's not something that is made clear to most people.
So, but that's interesting, Doc, because here we are in a country, of course, the healthcare debate is a raging debate. We still are dealing with a government that's trying to replace, quote unquote, the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. We know that pharmaceutical companies are getting billions of dollars. They're reaping rich off of the sickness of America. But in more in particular, in our community, we are lying on the deathbed when it comes to our health and well-being. Is Absolutely. Veganism the answer?
There's no question but that the answer is absolutely yes. When it comes to heart disease, prostate cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, these diseases can add diabetes, autoimmune diseases like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis. These diseases could be prevented and in many cases reversed and even cured by going vegan. Now, I'm not going to say that in every case they could be cured, but in many, many cases, they can be reversed and or cured or prevented from developing altogether by either adopting or converting to a vegan diet. And I've actually seen this done with patients of mine in clinics that have converted to vegan diet. And it's critically important that we do this because within the African-American community, we are at much higher risk for developing these chronic diseases. And once we develop them, they're much more devastating in our community. African-Americans have higher rates of colon cancer than any other ethnic group.
Yeah.
Furthermore, our death rate from colon cancer is much higher. African-American men have more than twice the rate of prostate cancer than any other ethnic group. And once we develop prostate cancer, we're more than twice as likely to die from it because we get much more aggressive forms of it. African-American women are much more likely to die from breast cancer than white women. Our death rate from heart disease is higher than Caucasian or Hispanic Americans. And we have a higher death rate from pancreatic cancer. Once we develop diabetes, number one, our risk for developing diabetes is higher than Caucasian Americans. But once we develop diabetes, we are more than 100 times more likely to end up on dialysis or to end up blind from retinal damage. And we're over 240 times more likely to end up with limb amputations from gangrene caused by peripheral vascular disease that's related to diabetic complications. So it is critically important that we change our diet to prevent the complications related to diet-related disease.
Well, you know what, Doc? This is such a big thing, and I'm sure that you're happy that, at least in Baltimore, that we're doing our part to make sure that we are improving the quality of life for folks here. Naja, I wanted to go back to you because as we have this conversation, how can people learn more about veganism and really understanding what it's all about and that they can actually thrive in this lifestyle?
Well, you know, Vegan Soul Fest is coming up August 26th, and Dr. Milton Mills is one of the speakers. So if you want to come out and meet Dr. Mills in person and listen to his talk, you want to come out to Vegan Soul Fest at Baltimore City Community College on August 26th from 12 to 7. We'll have the schedules posted in the next couple of days. The website is vegansoulfest.com. We got over 100 vendors from nonprofit organizations, food vendors, retail vendors, cooking demos, performances, lectures. All of that will be taking place on the campus of Baltimore City Community College on August 26th.
That's what I'm talking about.
Good day. We're also going to have Tracy McWhorter. She published the first African-American vegan starter guide. You can go get that online right now. We'll have printed copies on campus, but you can go to AfricanAmericanVeganStarterGuide.com and download that right now for free.
That's what's up right there. We got Dr. Milton Mills, the Black Vegan Doctor, and we have Sister Naja Wright from Land of Kush. Thank you so much for both for putting that information out there as we start the or kick off Vegan Restaurant Week here in Baltimore.
MDVeganEats.com.
Definitely. Up next, we got the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report, so stay tuned. It's a little bit more happening as we round it out on Listen Up.
You know what I'm saying? About time niggas start thinking about that shit, son. You know what I'm saying? That shit is fucking making us deteriorate, son. Word up, we gotta care about our little babies and shit, son. Niggas got kids to raise. Straight up, you gotta start learning yourself, learning about your health, son.
Welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. So much we're talking about. Hey, look, we got something very special for you for the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report. On the line, we got Pastor Ishmael Wilson. He is the pastor of Another Level Church in Capitol Heights, Maryland. They're doing a big community day. It's going to be kicking off tomorrow, and I'm so happy to have Pastor Wilson on. Peace and blessings, Pastor. How are you, sir?
Hey, bless you, sir. How are you?
I'm good. All right, let's talk about this Community Day 2017, Another Level Church. First, Pastor, talk to us about the ministry of the church.
Oh, man. Well, we are going on 10 years next year, March the 2nd, 2018, will be 10 years old. We started the church back in 2008. And, man, God has just been so good to us, man. We are totally committed to building the community right there in Capitol Heights, Maryland. So that's the reason why we do things like this Community Day every year. This year, it has taken on a whole nother level. In the times past, we've done free car wash and free food. But, man, this year we're doing so many other things that are just going to be showing off a blessing to the community.
Yeah, and I see, Pastor, because y'all got a full and busy schedule tomorrow, because you're going to have not just free food, and you know, food, you got to have food with black folks, Pastor. We
yes,
know that.
Sir. Yes, sir.
You got to feed the people.
You know, we grew up with chicken dinners in the back of the church.
Can't forget the old fashioned fish fry.
That's right.
you got free food. You're going to have a health screening. You got face painting, fun games, but you also got a fitness boot camp. Talk to us a little bit about this, Pastor.
Yeah, we got some fitness instructors that's going to be coming too, man. I heard the segment on the vegan, on just taking care of your body, man. I'm kind of on that road myself. About 2 years ago, I was 360-something pounds, man.
Wow.
I lost 100 pounds.
Come on, Pastor.
Yeah, man.
Come on, Pastor.
You know, I'm trying to lead by example, man.
Absolutely.
That healthy lifestyle is something that we have adapted in our church, and so we're just spreading that to the community, man. We got a fitness instructor come in to show some exercises that you can do right in your home, or you can, you know, go to a local gym and sign up with some free classes and some more stuff, man.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, Pastor, I know that there is an effort now to make sure that we are getting the next generation, young people.
Yeah.
What's your church looking like in that outreach?
Man, you know, what we have been focusing on, man, is not only just the youth, but also the millennials. We're right now building an infrastructure where we're going to be pouring into the lives of those teenagers and also helping them not just with their studies and tutorials, but also with helping them with the scholarships.
Beautiful.
So that they'll have opportunities to go to a higher education institution. You know, so we got a big scholarship Sunday actually coming this Sunday, where we're going to be giving all of our graduates for 2017 money to go towards their college education.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Pastor, put it all out there. Another Level Church Community Day 2017. How can people learn more about this great day?
They can follow the church on Instagram at Another Level Church or Facebook at Another Level Church, or they can go to my personal Facebook page or Instagram, all things at Pastor Ishmael.
That's what I'm talking about. And I know, Pastor, you got some of your members of your church that are tuned in. What would you say, Pastor? What kind of words of guidance can you offer to the next generation as we're facing so many challenges?
Man, I think that right now we are in a very critical time in our nation where there's so much hate going on and racism and,
mm-hmm.
and all of this stuff that causes us to be so divided. I think that right now is the time that we should come together and really start pushing anything that is positive to kind of combat some of this hate. The scripture tells us that in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I think it's around the 40th verse, Jesus said, he said, truly I tell you, he said, what you have done to the least of them, you have done unto me. And I think that if we can all get back to the place where we can focus on taking care of our neighbor and uplifting one another, we can start tearing down some of these things that have been pushed toward us over the last 8 months.
That's what I'm talking about. Pastor Ishmael Wilson, he is the pastor of the beautiful church, Another Level Church. They're having a community day tomorrow, August the 19th, out there in Capitol Heights. You got to go out there. If you're in the area, make sure you stop through. A whole lot is happening. Pastor Ishmael, thank you so much for putting this word about your community day on the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report.
Thank you for the opportunity. Bless you.
Bless you too, sir. All right. I like that, man. Community day. That's right. Get your face painted. Learn how to lose some weight. Take care of your body. And you know what? They even giving out free gas cards. Come on now. $20 gas cards. That's all I'm saying. That'll make you come to church. All right. That's going to do it for me. Look, I want to thank all my special guests. I want to thank Dr. Pastor Tim Tooten for coming in. Make sure you pick up a copy of his book, Leading by Example, The Parental Guide to Teaching and Modeling Christian Faith at Home. Such a beautiful book. I'm going to check this out. And also, I want to thank Dr. Naja Wright. Well, she's not a doctor, but Naja Wright, Chef Naja Wright from Land of Kush, Dr. Milton Mills, who is the black vegan doctor. And I want to certainly thank Pastor Ishmael Wilson. All right, that's going to do it for us. Next week, we're going to have a conversation about Charlottesville in a way that you probably didn't expect. As we talk to our brother Dietrich Muhammad of the Racial Wealth Divide and give us some insight as to what can we expect over the next couple of weeks coming out of politically, but most importantly, how can the next generation get involved in this larger struggle? I know, no more marching. That's what Diddy said, but it's a lot of things happening, but we got to keep things in a proper context. We'll talk about it next week. That's going to do it for me. I want to thank my producer, Mieka Downing. I want to thank my super producer, Iori Royalty. And I want to certainly thank my engineer, Andre Melton, for making us sound so good. Make sure you follow us on all social media on Facebook at Listen Up with Faraji Muhammad. You can also follow me at Faraji Muhammad on Twitter and Facebook and Mr. Listen Up on Instagram. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. Up next is that cool jazz for your Friday rainy night, so stay tuned for that. And of course, later on, Strictly Hip Hop with all of the crew. So that's going to come up on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community, and of course, the next generation. Peace, young nation.